taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read, we study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free, and I'm glad you could join me today. How many of you remember a book written by former First Lady Hillary Clinton, which she said, it takes a village? She claimed that it takes a village, that takes all the strangers around you to raise a child. Now, I vehemently disagree. I agree that society and family can have an impact on that, on the raising of a child, but it doesn't necessarily take a village to raise a child. What it takes are parents. But today, I want to look at it a little differently. What are the consequences of expecting the village to raise the child? What is the impact of having society and, more importantly, government agencies raise our children? Well, I've got several articles today that kind of gives us a clue. And we start in Los Angeles. See, the Los Angeles Unified School District are now going to require all students wear high-grade non-cloth masks, well, starting back in January. Now, you have to remember, the CDC shows that children are have the lowest percentage of infection of any of the demographics on the COVID data. And there's been no studies that show that children are exceptionally good at spreading the COVID-19. So they rarely get sick, they're rarely hospitalized, they don't tend to die, there are very few deaths. They are not the super spreaders, but yet here we have Los Angeles County, the Los Angeles Unified School District, saying you have to wear better than you need a well-fitting non-cloth mask with a nose wire to wear at all times, while indoors and outdoors. Now, the employees are already required to wear surgical-grade masks. Now, I don't know about you, but this not only doesn't pass the logic test, this doesn't pass the rationality test. Why are we doing this? Or I should say, why is the Los Angeles County Unified School District doing this? It certainly isn't a medical decision. The medical science shows that masks aren't that effective. Sure, if you walked around all day in a KN95 mask and you wore it properly all day, there'd be some impact. They'd stop, 60, 70% of the virus particles, but still, you're getting 30% into your body. See, this is what happens when we let the village raise the children. The village, they don't think. They do whatever the political overlords say, whatever those in politics, whatever those with a currently accepted position. Yep, oh, we got to mask everybody. Well, where's the science? Oh, we don't have to worry about science. We're going to mask everybody. That's what you want to raise your children, huh? Or I should say maybe not you. Probably my audience doesn't have a lot of people that want the village to raise it. But remember, we are dealing more and more in a society where we expect the village to raise our children. Where school now is as much a daycare as it is an educational facility, where parents are kept out of the loop in education. And in fact, they don't want the input. And we want government and government actors to raise our children for us. So we're going to end up with a whole generation of children growing up in masks because because there are those who thought the experts knew better how to raise our children. And let's go to the other coast. We'll go coast to coast, from LA to New York. You see, New York State has been revoking religious exemptions for school vaccination. Now again, we're dealing with an experimental product. Moderna, Pfizer, Even the Johnson & Johnson. Moderna and Pfizer are not legally vaccines. The CDC had to come up with a new definition of vaccine, but that's not the legal definition of a vaccine. And of course, we've got all the evidence that shows we've got an experimental vaccine. We don't have informed consent. There's not been any long-term testings. We have no idea what the long-term impact will be on adults, much less on children. Children who are not at risk of, or I should say very small risk, of contracting and dying of COVID, and have shown no studies that they are a spreader of COVID. Yet we want to experiment on our children because, well, that's what the Village says. The Village says we need to vaccinate our children as young as 5, now as young as 6 months. We're going to experiment on our children because that's what the Village says. Well, that's currently being challenged in the Supreme Court because of the fact that they're revoking religious exemptions. But think about this. We're talking about experimenting on our children, human experimentation on children. That's what the Village wants. And that's what we're seeing in places like New York and LA, where the Village raises the child. Now, I'm going to follow this case as it goes through, but what does that say about letting the Village raise our children? To force them to wear masks when there's no medical reason to do that. To force them to take experimental drugs when there's no medical proof that the vaccines are proven not to stop infections, not to stop the spread. But we're going to force our children to do that because that's what the Village says. Interesting, there's a member of the Pfizer board that even says it's time to consider dumping the mask mandates. But realize, we're still talking about the Village making the decision, not the parent. See, this board member says, no, it's up to the government to say when we can stop masking our children. In fact, this board member goes so far as to say it's up to the federal government. Now, we'll just ignore the fact that the Constitution doesn't delegate to the United States the authority to make medical decisions, much less to regulate education. But you see, we've got this idea that the Village raises our children, and there's no bigger village in America than the federal government. So now, rather than parents making decisions for their children, no. We need corporate board members to persuade government actors about what's the proper way to raise your child. Again, are we living with the Village raising our children? And it's a big village. It's not just your town. It's not just your state. Now they want the federal government doing this. Now, that isn't all. But those are some examples of mandates. Whether it's a city or a state that is mandating how your child gets raised, whether or not they wear a mask, making medical decisions for your children, experimenting on them with emergency use vaccines for something that's not an emergency, especially among children. They have the Village raising our children. But there's an even darker side. Now, I don't know what the future is as far as the long-term effect of these mRNA injections. We'll find out. It'll take us years to figure out what the consequences are of these decisions. But there's some short-term examples of other decisions and their long-term effect. Let's start with Ludlow, Massachusetts. Now, this is from an article out of the Epoch Times. And there's a teacher by name, or former teacher named Bonnie Manchester. She was told by the school administrators to refer to a female student by his new gender name. Right? Now, a female student by his new gender name. And, well, by the way, don't mention that to the parents. That was it. She couldn't handle that. She told the Epoch Times, "I did what any teacher would and should do. I told the parents." Bravo, Ms. Manchester. I think you're wrong that any teacher would do this. I believe they should do this. But bravo for standing up and doing the right thing. You see, the child was just 11 years old at the time. And Ms. Manchester learned that the school was not only secretly meeting with the girl, but with her 12-year-old brother about his purported interest in becoming a girl. This is what happens when the village raises your children. They make lifelong decisions for your children, and they don't tell you about it. Now, I've never worked as a teacher in a public school. I have been a Sunday school teacher. I have taught in other venues. But the only time I really dealt with children was mostly with high school students as a Sunday school teacher. And I had a very simple rule. Every year when we started class, I had a little speech I would give. And I basically tell them, listen, any question is acceptable. You can talk about anything here. This is not, I'm not wedded to the curriculum. I said, what you say between us stays between us, unless I believe it puts you in danger. In which case, I will talk to you, and you and I together will talk to your parents. That was always the rule. I would not go out of the way to discuss with the parents what was discussed, unless there was some danger involved. In which case, I wouldn't do it behind the child's back. I would bring the child with me. I would help the child tell the parents. That was my goal. But here we have a school that is making decisions for minor children, 11 and 12-year-old children, and intentionally hiding it from the parents. Now, sadly, this isn't unique. This has been a growing number of incidents of this across the United States. Back on January 31st, parents in Jacksonville, Florida, filed a federal lawsuit against their 12-year-old daughter's school for having secret meetings with her to encourage her to identify as a boy. Last week in Salinas, California, parents filed notice of an intent to file a lawsuit against Buena Vista Middle School for allegedly allowing two teachers to secretly brainwash her teenage daughter into identifying as bisexual and later as transgender. Earlier in the week, in Texas, an anonymous teacher outed her school to a digital media outlet by releasing documents from the district's training program that show that teachers are being told to keep parents in the dark about any disclosures their children make at school about gender identity and feelings. Quoting the documents, "Do not," all caps, "do not contact the parents and out them to their families." This is what happens when the village raises our children. They make decisions. They keep parents in the dark. And all too often, whether intentionally or not, they are placing political agendas above what is best for a child. You have schools secretly grooming children to be gay, bisexual, and transgender. I am so glad we did not send my daughter to public school. I even though it was before some of this nonsense, I am so glad, because the village is not trying to raise your child to be the best child they could be. See, the interesting thing about this is it appears that the village is trying to raise your children to meet whatever political preferences they have, to be good little political operatives, to be good little serfs and slaves and do what they're told. And if it means keeping the parents out so the parents don't contradict what the schools want, well, we'll just keep the parents aside. We don't want the parents involved. The village knows best. The village will teach your children what they think they should know about history, about sex, about controversial issues. Tell me, are these schools also encouraging hormone therapy, which will have a lifelong medical impact on these children? And if they're hiding that from the parents, what happens if the child needs medical treatment? And the parents have been kept out of the loop, so they can't give a complete medical history. This is what happens when we let the village teach our children. We allow the government. Let's stop the use of ism, right? The village, by the village, we mean the government. When we let the government raise our children, we don't end up with free citizens. We end up with politically manipulated serfs. You know, John Jay said that every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country and teach the rising generation to be free. He emphasized the teaching the rising generation to be free. That's one of the things I spend a lot of time doing. I'm currently working on my conference schedule. Where am I going to speak? I've got 4 potential homeschool conferences between, you know, spring and early summer of next year that I'm considering going to, being at, presenting, because of the need to educate our children, to teach the rising generation to be free. Because 90% of our children are going to government schools. 90% of our children are being raised by the village. And the village appears to be full of idiots. You see, most of us seem to think that freedom and liberty are the natural, normal state, at least here in America. But we forget that freedom and liberty is not the norm. Most definitely not the norm. See, people ask me all the time, how did we get here? How did we get to this point? I want to remind them something that Ronald Reagan said. He said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We did not pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it on to them with the well-thought lessons of how they, in their lifetime, must do the same. We got here because we did not fight for liberty, protect it, defend it, and figure out how to teach it to our children. We simply hand them over. At 5 years old, we hand our children over to the government and say, you teach them. We'll let you. You have the experts. You teach them. What they had were the degrees, but not the expertise. And by handing our children over to the village, we've raised a generation of village idiots. Don't believe me? Reagan went on to say, and if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in America where men were free. Ladies and gentlemen, that is today. I was speaking last year to a college group. I won't mention which college, but I was speaking to a college group. We were talking about rights and freedom and liberty and mandates and infringement. And near the end of the evening, one young man, and I call him a young man because he's my daughter's age, One young man said, "You know, you've been talking all night about rights and freedom and infringement, but if it's the right thing to do, what's the big deal? I mean, society hasn't fallen apart." That boy had been raised by the village to believe that the village can do whatever the village wants, that government can do whatever government thinks is best, that your rights don't matter, your freedom doesn't matter. Let the government decide what is best. I had to take some time and explain to him what it was once like in America where men were free, because he had no clue. Now, I don't know this boy personally. My guess is he went to a public school. My guess, he probably came from a good family. They meant well. They sent him to what I thought was a good school. But the village had turned him into an idiot. And I was sad. I wasn't mad. I wasn't angry. I was sad to look at this boy's eyes and say, "This is your idea. This is freedom to you." See, this is what happens when we let the village raise our children. Because the village isn't interested in the best welfare of our children. There may be individuals in the village that do, and they may think they're doing the right thing, but they don't. See, I read this article, it came from the Daily Caller, about, let me just quote this here. "An adult biological male child molester will be housed in a juvenile detention facility for girls because he began identifying as a woman after being taken into custody, according to Fox News." Now tell me, is that a village of idiots or what? William Tubbs, a 26-year-old that now goes by the name Hannah, pled guilty to molesting a 10-year-old girl when he was 2.5 weeks shy of his 18th birthday. Prosecutors said that Tubbs grabbed the 10-year-old victim by the throat, locked her in a bathroom stall, put his hand down her pants. Now, Tubbs did not claim to be a woman until after he was taken into custody for the attack. And now, he says, "Oh, now I'm a woman. So stick me in a juvenile facility for girls." Yeah, did you catch that? See, William Tubbs is 26, but the district attorney, refused to prosecute him as an adult. So you have a 26-year-old man. Granted, he was 18 when he molested a 10-year-old girl. Suddenly he gets caught. He gets taken into custody. Now he claims to be a woman, and they're sticking him in a juvenile detention facility for girls? Tell me this isn't a decision by the village idiot. Now, you may be asking, who in their right mind would take a 26-year-old male and put him in a juvenile facility for girls? Oh yeah, it's that village idiot, Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon. Yeah, I wish I were kidding. You're talking a district attorney, a man supposedly there to help protect the village by prosecuting and putting away the most dangerous elements. And he's putting a 26-year-old child molester in a juvenile detention facility for girls. I'm sorry. Village idiot isn't a strong enough term for what's being done here. And not only is this the man supposedly protecting your children, this is the village that wants to raise them. Tell me again why it takes a village. Tell me again why it's government that should be raising your children. Tell me again why former Governor Newsom says the parents should have nothing to do with the education of their children. Tell me again why progressive after progressive, Marxist after Marxist, tells us that the children don't belong to the parents. They belong to the public. They belong to the state. Because they want the village to raise your children. But tell me, raise them into what? Based on that, what are they trying to raise your children up to be? It certainly doesn't sound like they're trying to raise them to be free and well-adjusted citizens, masters of their government, and able to govern themselves. No, that's not what the village is trying to do. At least that's what it appears to do. I have to head to a break, but before I do, do me a favor. Check out a couple websites. Check out constitutionstudy.com. You can find all the work that I'm doing there. You can find links to the radio page. You can find my articles, my videos. Sign up for the newsletter. You can even hit checkbox and I'll email you my articles and videos when they post. You can find out more about what's going on from a constitutional standpoint. And oh, by the way, you can also ask a question there. There's an Ask a Question tab. Click that, fill out the form. If you'd like me to answer the question on the radio program, just check that box. I'll be more than happy to add it to my list. I'm putting together another Q&A segment, or at least I will if I can get people to give me some questions that they would like me to answer. Now also, please head to healthycell.com/outloud. You know, the vitamin hasn't changed much since the 1930s. Well, that is until Healthy Cell came along. See, Healthy Cell vitamins work at the cellular level to do things like boost your immune system, help you sleep better, help you focus deeper, stay younger, live a better life. Now, I've been using the Focus and Recall. I really like this. You know, sometimes you get to the end of the day and the mind wanders. You find it harder to focus, to do the deep thinking that's necessary for some of our lives. Focus and Recall, it's a little gel pack. I shoot them straight. I know some people, they mix them in a drink. But they help bring you into focus. And you say, well, no, Paul, I grab a cup of coffee or an energy shot or an energy drink, but you're dealing with a lot of caffeine. You're dealing with a lot of sugar in some cases. And your body will react. Yeah, you'll get that buzz again, but then you'll crash. I don't get that with the Focus and Recall. I just get a nice little extra bit of focus. And as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order. All you have to do is go to healthycell.com/outloud, look at any of their products. Again, I'm talking about Focus and Recall today, but look at any of their products. Make sure you use that URL and you'll get 20% off your first order. Just try healthycell.com/outloud.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. We are the voice of a nation, the American nation, that is. This is Malcolm Out Loud. I invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com, where the fight for liberty and justice continues. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're asking the question, if it takes a village to raise a child, what is that village doing to them? We covered some articles that deal with how children are being treated from the continuing draconian rules in Los Angeles and New York involving masking and forced vaccinations and whatnot, to schools actually acting like, well, you have no say over your children, to hiding information, to secretly training them to be gay or transgender or whatnot, to even the concept of putting convicted sex offenders, adult convicted sex offenders, in juvenile hall with children, with female children. So you've got a guy who's claiming to be a woman. He is an adult male being housed in juvenile detention with young girls. I mean, that's just plain, to me, that's nuts. That's the sign of a truly sick society. I mean, we look back at Rome before its fall and we see it as just a crumbling sick society. Well, I look at what's going on here and it seems pretty much the same to me. But let's look at some more news about what's going on, about how this village, and when, you know, we're really talking about the government, right? When Hillary Clinton talked about it takes a village, she's really talking about government programs to raise our children. But let's look at what the government programs are doing. I found another article, again, on the Daily Caller, of some federal bureaucracy that is bribing our young boys to hand over private information. Researchers at Columbia University are following a National Institutes of Health funded study. They're doing the study, again, funded by your taxpayer dollars. They spent more than $8 million. And what they're doing is they are asking boys as young as 13 to track their sexual behavior on an app without parental permission. Now, let's just stop and rewind that for just a second, because I know. First of all, we have this hypersexualization of our children. You know, granted, by the time you're 13, at least when I was 13, I was thinking about girls, yeah. They want to collect this information about their sexual behavior, and they're doing it without their parents' permission. And while the article I found, the Daily Caller, doesn't go into details, there are some of the questions are truly, you know, I don't know. It to me, it's not something that the government should be asking. It's none of the government's business. Why does the federal government need to know? Well, Paul, it's for the public health. The United States was never delegated the authority to deal with public health. Sorry, it doesn't. This is a power that remains with the states, and even the states, it may be restricted by the state constitutions. But they're going, again, behind the parents' back. In order to get this, you'll love this, they're bribing the students with money. Yeah, a young boy can get up to $275 for answering this survey, for recording their sexual activity without their parents' knowledge. Tell me a teenage boy, at the chance of getting a couple of $100, not really considering the long-term consequences of handing this information over to researchers or to the government. And of course, normally you would say, well, the parents are the guardians. They would look at this and say, nah, maybe the parents would be okay with it. Maybe the parents say, nah, I don't think this is a good deal. But they're specifically bypassing the parents. Now, again, another reason why my daughter didn't go to a public school is I maintain control of my daughter's internet access, at least as much as I could, until she turned 18. My daughter didn't have a smartphone until she turned 18. Now, I spent 30 years in IT. I know the cesspool that the internet can be. So I had firewalls and virus scanners and content filters. I had my home network secured to prevent my daughter from someone going around me to get to my daughter to ask her dirty questions. But here we have the federal government paying the Columbia University researchers to do exactly that. Not only paying the researchers, but bribing the young men for this information. Young men, by the way, who are legally too young to give consent. I wonder where are the charges? Where are the charges of solicitation? Where are the charges of gathering medical information without consent? So that's what I want to know. So we were talking yesterday on the other day on my Constitution study about how I am tired. I am done with this. Well, we just need to whine and complain and we just need to sue. No, these are crimes that are being committed. Your children are maybe, your son may be being bribed to provide private, personal, medical information to an agency that has no legal need for it. I don't care what Congress said. The Constitution didn't grant Congress the power to do this. And they're doing it all behind your back, which means not consent. Now, let me ask you, let me put it another way. What if it wasn't the NIH? What if it was NAMBLA? Now, for those of you who don't recognize, the North American Man Boy Love Association, it hasn't been much in the news lately, but there was a time when it was in the news because they promote the idea of older men having sex with younger boys. What if they were to put out an app and say, we will give you up to $275 if you tell us about your sexual behavior? People would be up in arms. There'd be lawsuits. There'd be criminal charges left, right, and center. But because the federal government does it, oh, that's okay? No, that is not okay. That is just as much a crime if for a federal agent to do it as it is for a private group to do it. When are we going to deal with this? Where are the criminal charges? Where are the investigations? Oh, but Paul, it's for the health of the children. Too bad. See, if someone comes along and says to my minor, I don't have any minor children anymore, but when my daughter was a minor and said, oh no, I bypassed you and I bypassed your wife because it was important for your daughter to know, that person still gets handcuffs and sent to jail. I don't stand for it. I don't care if it's a government. I don't care if it's the states. I don't care if it's the feds. This is criminal bribery and solicitation. This is the collection of child pornography. How many of you remember? There used to be a, I don't know if it's still out, there used to be a magazine called Penthouse. And it was known for publishing stories about sexual behavior. Now, most of that was fiction. But if you're collecting data on sexual behavior without the parents' consent on minors, to use that data in some way nobody knows how it's going to be used, that is child pornography. Your tax dollars through the National Institutes of Health is being used to collect child pornography. Where is the outrage? Where are the lawsuits? Where are the criminal complaints? If anyone out there, ask your son, if you have a teenage boy, ask your son, tell him they're not in trouble. At least from my standpoint, I would say they're not in trouble. But you want to know, have they been using this My Peeps application? Have they been asked to use this My Peeps application? And then if they have, well, one, you can contact me and I get some more information. You know, I'd like to hear some more about it, but go to your sheriff. Go to your sheriff and say, listen, someone's collecting sexual information on my minor child without my consent, either for the collection or use of that data. This is child pornography. This is solicitation for child pornography. This is a crime. What are you going to do about it? See, it's one thing to be outraged at the act, but we need to learn to start doing something about it. We need to learn to stand up for what is right, even if it costs us something. Now, here's a good example. Fairfax County, Virginia. A 10-year-old student has received 4 suspensions in 1 week. Wow, this must be a really bad girl, right? She must be just a troublemaker. I mean, she's a 4th grader at Waynewood Elementary School in Fairfax County Public Schools. And oh my God, what has this girl done that she's gotten 4 suspensions in a week? She's gone maskless at her school. Yeah, this is Virginia. Now, one, requiring a mask in public is a violation of the Constitution of the United States and is most likely a violation of the Constitution of Virginia. By the way, I do believe that the governor, and again, I'm not familiar with the Virginia Constitution in that detail. I don't know if the governor is the head of the school district or not. I'm not sure. But the governor got a law passed that said mask wearing is optional. Now, he did it via executive order and, you know, overturning a previous executive order that was that was illegal. But the girl's following state law. And now she's been suspended 4 times for following state law. Now, she's not alone. There was a high schooler in Loudoun County, Virginia, that was also suspended for 10 days for failing to comply with the district's mask mandate, which is in direct violation of the governor's order and state law and state constitution and federal constitution. Where are the criminal charges for the principals and whatever faculty that participated? Placing their school board policy above the law of the state, the law of the United States. These administrators, these school boards, have committed a federal crime. Title 18 United States Code, Section 242. They have deprived their students of liberty without due process of law in direct violation of the Constitution of the United States. They've done so by rule. They've done so willfully. Oh, by the way, they've done so collectively, which means they've also violated Section 241. They've committed a conspiracy to deprive their students and their faculty of rights protected by the Constitution of the United States. Where are the criminal charges? I'm not willing. This should not simply be argued in the media. This should not simply be school board discussion. This should be criminal charges. These are crimes being committed. There need to be criminal charges. And I've heard, and this is the other one I got, in one of these, the student was actually threatened with trespass. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. These are public schools, which means they're owned by the public, they're owned by the people. And since trespass is the illegal occupation of land in violation of the will of the owner, how can someone trespass on property they own? The student in Loudoun County, Virginia, has been threatened with trespass for following state and federal law. Parents, have you talked to your your sheriff and said, are you on board with this insanity? Are you willing to continue to violate the right? Do you want to join the criminal charges? Because remember, if the sheriff or any of their deputies deprives the student of a right protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States and does so willfully based on a rule in violation of Virginia law, I believe it's in violation of Virginia law, that sheriff has also committed a federal crime. Now, I'm kind of curious as what the governor is going to do about this. I mean, let's face it, Governor Youngkin won the election in large part by saying the parents are in charge of the children, not the government. Here you have at least two schools that are violating state law, I believe, right? I can't give you the section and code, but I believe they're violating state law. And so far, all he's been able to do is file a lawsuit. You know what? It's time to stop with just the lawsuits. It's time to stop with just the lawsuits. It's time to demand criminal punishment. It's time to demand a grand jury investigate this to see if there are indictments for crimes. Now, that was just Virginia. A student in Plainwell High School in Michigan was suspended for 3 days last fall. Why? Well, this case, it was for expressing his religious belief in a private conversation with a friend. Now, his parents learned about the suspension. You know what they did? They sued. They're suing the high school principal for violating their son's First Amendment rights. Well, first of all, it's not his First Amendment rights. First of all, you don't get rights from the Constitution. The Constitution protects your rights. Second of all, the First Amendment to the United States Constitution says Congress shall make no law. Congress didn't do any such thing. I know someone sent me a message just the other day, saying, well, the Supreme Court has incorporated, the Supreme Court is a subject of the Constitution, not its master. The Constitution tells the Supreme Court what to do, not the other way around. You cannot rewrite the Constitution simply because 5 of 9 justices in black robes think they can. However, this is a violation of the Michigan Constitution. You see, Article 1, Section 5 of the Michigan Constitution says every person may freely speak, write, express, and publish his view on all subjects, being responsible for the abuse of such right, and no law shall be enacted to restrain or abridge the liberty of speech or of the press. So tell me, what abuse of the right of free speech did you have when a student has a private conversation with a friend? This should be in Michigan court, not in federal court. But we've so lost the Constitution. We don't pay attention. We have no clue what the Constitution says. When we believe the Supreme Court can effectively rewrite the Constitution, I ask, is the republic still viable? How do you have a constitutional republic when the people who are supposed to uphold the Constitution are the ones attempting to rewrite it in direct violation of it? But at least these parents sued. They at least did something. They didn't simply, sit back and say, oh, tisk, tisk, what are we going to do? But you remember a while back I was talking about this push for universal pre-K. This idea that the government's going to fund education as young as they can. Let's get down to, 2-3 years old, maybe even as young as 6 months. Let's get everybody in this universal pre-K. Let's get everybody involved, and it'll be so wonderful, these Head Start programs. Well, first of all, the federal government spending money on these is unconstitutional. It is illegal. The law, the legislation that created this is void because it's repugnant to the Constitution. But if we look at this, the Vanderbilt University, their Peabody Research Institute, as well as studies from Head Start itself, point to the fact that access to public preschool doesn't actually benefit the children in the long run. Head Start is a failure. Public Head Start. According to the Head Start study, the overall findings were that the advantages children gained during Head Start and ages 4 years yielded only a few statistical differences in outcomes at the end of the first grade. Oh, so we're going to spend them an extra year, and it was only a few points at the end of first grade. Now, the Vanderbilt study had similar findings. So when we look at this push for universal pre-K, it is a colossal waste of money. Well, that's not a surprise. The government's good at wasting people's money. That's what happens when you have the village government raising your children. They spend buku dollars. They waste billions and billions of dollars for a statistically small improvement. But in what has to be the saddest of the articles that I found, that I want to talk to you about today, this to me is heartbreaking. How many of you have heard of furries? I've seen the term, but only recently bothered to someone to actually explain it. It's the idea that rather than having children, adults have pets. We've all seen them. We've all seen people who treat their pets as if they're children, right? They dress them up. They anthropomorphize them, you know. And it's one thing to say, well, okay, you know, you're gonna dote on your cat and dog as you would a child because you either wouldn't or couldn't have a child. But there are consequences to this. Now, add to that this society that has become unwilling to have children or unable to have children, turning their pets into children, with this nonsense being taught in schools that you are what you think you are. You want to be a boy today and a girl tomorrow? That's fine. You want to institutionalize a mental illness? That's great. What happens when you take these two indoctrinations, these two ideas that pets are equal to children and that you can declare you are what you say you are? What happens when you morph those together? Well, you now have the true victims of these mental diseases. Children showing up to school, coming to class wearing tails, fake animal ears, even leashes. They call themselves furries. You have videos of children barking like dogs or meowing like cats, scooting around on all fours. These are becoming popular on social media. The Newman Report received communication about this from parents across many states, Indiana, Michigan, Kentucky, and more. Even the mainstream media has started picking up this phenomena in government schools. We are literally turning our children into pets. Think about that. Your children believe, there are children out there that believe the best way to get their parents' love and affection is by pretending to be a pet. By identifying as an animal. Tell me this is not child abuse. Tell me what we're doing is not destroying the next generation. Crippling them. To the point where they think they can be a cat because they want to be a cat because maybe their mom likes cats and will pay more attention to them. Dear God in heaven, what have we done to our children? If it takes a village to raise a child, what does it say when I've got a report of one mom who complained at a school board meeting about litter boxes being put in bathrooms. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, litter boxes. So that your child who thinks it's a cat can use a litter box rather than a toilet. I'm sorry, folks. If this isn't evidence of child abuse, if you were to walk into someone's home 5 years ago and see their child running around on all fours with a fake tail, fake ears, and then using a litter box rather than the toilet, you would have called Child Protective Services. Yet today, we're supposed to believe this is normal. This is acceptable. This is sick. This is evidence of a sick society. But what's even worse is the society is refusing to treat the illness. They're refusing to treat the wound, they're refusing to treat the mental illness, and it is growing like an infection through our society. If we've gotten to the point where a Michigan school has put litter boxes in the bathroom, how long before the federal government demands that litter boxes be made part of every public restroom in the country because of these poor, deluded children that think they are animals, that think they're furries? And remember, all of my shows typically go to podcast a day or two after they're heard on the radio. You can find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, and iHeart Podcasts. Basically, anywhere you get your podcasts. And if you do me a favor, go to Apple Podcasts, leave me a subscription, rate the show so that others can find the Constitution Study and help share the blessings of liberty.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.